The first thing I have to do is to apologize. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the last shiur was Hazinu. Now that's a while back, and I hope you'll be Marshall. That's how it is with the Yomim Tovim and with this and with that and the Bein HaZmanim and the beginning of the Zman. That's just the way it is. So today we're by Lech Lecha, and as we'll see in a moment, it happens to be. Unfortunately, Lech Lecha at the moment is very much a sort of a sugya, which is lemaisa. I'll explain to you in a moment why I think so. But there it is, and I just didn't get around and couldn't bring myself to be mesader shir and so on and so forth. It's always with a lot of preparation, a lot of thought, and a lot of all kinds of things. And Shine, I wasn't able to do it, or at least I felt. Unable to do it during that period, so please forgive me. Why do I say that Lech Lecha is very much Ben Yonah de Yoyma? Because I don't know my history that well, but if I'm right, I mean this idea that a huge, huge, huge chunk of the world, which is the European Union, wants to go and fight against Bris Milah. And make it illegal because the child can't defend himself against all that cruel stuff. And there's plenty of time. Let him first grow up, and then at some age, I don't know what they want. Yeah. So if he wants a bris, he can have one. If he doesn't want a bris, he won't have one. But to force an 8-day-old child to have himself violated with this bris, that is not menschlich. And the European Union, which is famous for its menschlichkeit, will not allow it. It's just completely ununderstandable that what is happening. I think that even Peres, the president of Israel, wrote a letter to whoever the guy is in the European Union to whom such a letter should go. He says, if that's going to go through, then huge chunks of Jews will simply have to move out of Europe. You don't let them mull the children. So what's going to be? So the truth is that I think at least, like I'll tell you why I think so much that it's Minyona de Yoyma, and I'm not a Novi, Ben Novi, but it just sounds like that to me. The famous Ramban, the Lashon of the Ramban over here, is the pasuk is by Ani Hinei Berisi Itoch, yeah, Voyiso La'av Hamon Goyim, yeah. Well, we know that where that is in towards the end of Lech Lecha. So Ani Hinei Berisi Itoch, Voyiso Likahal Amim, Hinei Berisi Itoch, Voyiso La'av Hamon Goyim. I'm sorry. Hu bris hamila, asher yifarish zois ois habris. Because in a moment he's going to say zois ois habris, and the ois habris is the mila. So when Rabban Yisham says ani brisi etoch, it means the bris mila. So the Ramban learns like this. What does it mean? What's the connection? Vo yisol la'av hamon goyim. Hu bris hamila asher yifarish v'zois ois habris v'acharei habris. Only after you've had your bris will you become an Avamon Goyim. That means that the Ribbono Shel Olam made sure that Avraham would have the mitzvah of bris milah before Yitzchak would be conceived. Lovoy bebrisoy lehimol koidem shetaha sora liyos zaroy kodesh. Very interesting, the Loshon of the Ramban, that the Zera, the child that's going to be born, is only going to be Kodesh if the father has been gemaled. Now that's a very, very, very interesting thing. I don't know whether any of us would have said that misvora. I mean, who said that if you're not gemaled, and bris milah is a mitzvah like every other mitzvah, and if you haven't been mekayem it, how does that make a psul in the zera, in the child, that somehow he should not be Kodesh. Aber so steht mir vorgesch in der Ramban over here. that if the father is not gemalt, again, Baruch Hashem, asher loy levadoy niskenu alilos, shehiktem v'tzivo es Avraham lovoy bevrisoy, lehimol kodem shetaha oteha, I'm not sure of the dikduk, sora, lihiyoyz zaroy kodash. So that his zera should be kodesh. Very, very interesting. So, what I mean is, es kommt doch aus, that this milchoma keneged the bris milah is milchoma neged kedushas Yisrael. That's what it seems to me, and that would be very, very, very much in character that Europe is living up to its splendid name, and is fighting over here the kedushas Yisrael. It's just beyond description. I mean, I don't think that such a thing has happened in history. You've had individual kings or presidents or who knows, you know, who make anti-Semitic laws in their country. But that an entire European Union should vote and Asa Bris Mila is just beyond anything. And it seems to me that is like, you know, we're going to hear a little bit about here about Yemei HaMashiach, and this smacks of a matzav of the ultimate fight against Kedushas Yisrael, from which the Melech HaMashiach will Yirtzeh Hashem save us and build us up. But it makes the Seder very, very, very much like an Inyona D'Yoma, very, very terrible kind of situation. We are, like, we don't hear so much about it. The Hamadiya, the Yated, they report on it once in a while. I would have thought there'd be a bigger rash than there is. But it's schwer. I'm not dealing with the kind of issues where you have to deal with governments and so on and so forth. But it's a terrible thing. It's really a terrible, terrible thing when we think about it. So what is this Vayisa, this Hamoin Goyim? And that is what I do want to talk about. Let's see again what it says in the Torah. Ani hinevri si itoch, vo yiso laav hamon goyim. Velo yikore oide shimcho avrom, vo yo shimcho avroham, ki av hamon goyim nesaticho. That means two psukim, one after the other, announce this inyan of av hamon goyim, except that the way in which it is worded is different. The first pasuk says, Ani hine v'risi itoch v'hoyiso le'av hamon goyim. You will become. Hoyiso, of course, is the ova, but with the vov ha'mahapech, it becomes the oset. V'hoyiso, and you will be le'av hamon goyim. But there's nothing, no mention of a name change in that posuk. But then it says, v'lo yikore oid es shimcho avrom, v'hoyo shimcho avroham. So I have made you into an Av Hamon Goyim. Nesaticha. So in the earlier pasuk it says V'hoyisa le'Av Hamon Goyim. In the second pasuk it says V'hoyashimcha Avraham ki Av Hamon Goyim nesaticha. Now in a very, very early shiur, that means the first Lech Lecha, which was part of this weekly, hopefully, Shia, which I've been giving for quite a few years now, I spoke about this these two psukim to try and work out what each posuk is saying. And I came to the conclusion, and I still hold by that, I don't think I ever saw it anywhere, and therefore I can't say that it's the truth, but it made sense to me, and the psukim seemed to bear it out to some extent. That the pshat is like this, that what exactly does Av Hamon Goyim mean? What is Av Hamon Goyim? The father of the multitude of nations. Now, what nations are we talking about? So I tell you, without going through all the rayas and so on and so forth, what I said then, and which, as I say, I still think is probably or perhaps possibly the MS, is like this. Because Rashi says as follows, on the second Pasuk he says, Ki avamon goyim lo shono trekon shel shumoy. Yeah, so avamon goyim is really that which is spoken out by the name Avraham. V'reish shehoysa bo b'tchila, shloi hoyo av elo le'arom, shehu mekomo. In other words, Avram means that you're the Av of Aram, which is where he lived and where he was born. Right? Well, maybe you're not born, yeah, but where he lived. Yeah? Elo le'odom shehu mekomo, le'arom shehu mekomo. V'achshav av l'chol ha'olam. V'afilu reish shehoysa bo b'tchila lo'zozo mekomo. Af Yud Shel Sorai, and so on and so forth, the Reish doesn't get lost. Yeah, the Yud of Sorai complained when it was taken away, and the Rebbeinu had to say, okay, I'll put you by Yehoshua, whatever that means, but let's stick to our sugya over here, and that is that the Reish is not Zazmim Kaima. Now, L'chagel, what that means is that the name absolutely makes no sense. Avroham doesn't mean anything. Avham would mean, it's a shortened form of Av Hamon Goyim. Avram would mean there is the Av of Aram, but Avraham doesn't mean beans. It doesn't mean anything. So what's happening? Anyway, so my maskona, which I reached in that shiur, it must be about 5-6 years ago now. But what I reached in that thing was a suggestion. Again, I didn't see it anywhere, and I can't say that it's emes. But what I think is that the name Avraham is taka because the Reish remains in it. Because the Reish remains in it, it's saying two things, namely, yeah, ani hine brisi itoch v'hoyisa le'av hamon goyim, right? But what's the name Avraham? Now, what does that mean? It means like this, that the Reish remains in the name, although as Av Hamon Goyim doesn't mean anything. So the only thing it does mean is an Av to Aram. We'll soon discuss what an Av is, right? But the Reish only makes sense if it means an Av of Aram. And Av Hamon Goyim doesn't need any reishes. So therefore, it seems to me that the maskona, when the Rebbeinu Shem changed his name to Avraham, is that it should have two meanings. You are both the Avram and the Avham. In other words, it's not one thing, it's two things. So the reish remains in the word because being an Av to Aram, which we'll see in a moment what it means, remains. But besides being an Av to Aram, you're also an Av to the whole world. Av Hamon Goyim. Oh. And what's interesting is what we pointed out a minute ago, is that by the Avram part, yeah, it seems to be that V'hoyisa L'Av Hamon, the way the Ramban learns. Yeah, here I'm giving you the mitzvah of Bris Milah, yeah, and I'm making that you should be an Av Hamon Goyim, which is the Reish, because you haven't mentioned yet the change name. Then the next post successful, you call it the Shimcha Avram, Voya Shimcha Avraham, ki, because in addition to being an Avram, I'm also making you an Avamon Goyim, which is over the whole world. That is what it seems to me, and I don't want to go into trying to prove that. Maybe if you have an access to my website, what's it called? I've forgotten. DiggingDeeperJewish.org. Yeah, so if you can go to the website, you can see that shiur from way, 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 way back, right near the beginning of the list of shiurim. There must be a couple of hundred there. And that's what it is. The pasuk stands for both. Now, what are we talking about when we say that he's an Av to Aram? Now, it's interesting. There's a very interesting Rambam. It's in both in the Perush HaMishnayos and in the Mishnah Torah, Paskins that way, and that is in Bikurim. In Bikurim, in the Mishnayos of Bikurim, you have, oh, where am I? Here we are. Mishnayos Bikurim, Perek Rishon, that's Mishnah Dalet. The Mishnah Dalet says like this, Elu mevien v'loy koiren. They bring the Bikurim, but they can't do the Kriya. How's it go over there? From the Agoda. Arami Ovedovi. Right? So they can't say it. The Ger can bring Bikurim, but he can't say the Kriya. Why? She'ena yocha loyma asha nishba Hashem la'avoseinu lo ses lono. Right? Why? Because they're not avoseinu. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not the ovos of the Ger. He's a Kotn Shanayla Dama. Yeah? And im Häuser immer Mishroel, maybe the Keure. He can be called Avoseinu. Ukshu Mispalel, Bein Olu, Bein Atzma, Oime, Elokei, Ovois Yisroel. Oh. So the Rambam says as follows. Yeah, Kol Ze Bora. Elo Shepsak Halocha, Mevi hager atzmoi bikurim v'koire. That the psak is not like the Mishnah, which says that he's mevi v'ena koire, but the psak is that he is mevi and koire. V'samchuhu l'ma sh'oma Hashem l'Avraham, ki av ha'mon goyim nesaticha. So since Avraham was made av ha'mon goyim, so the ger can be koire. A goy can't be koire. I don't suppose he's mevi either, I don't know. But he certainly can't be koira. It's not avoseinu. But if a guy takes the step and becomes a yid, isn't his gaya, so then he has the avos of Avraham from the posuk yavam on goyim nesaticha. Omru, l'sho'ova hoiso av l'aron, hoiso av l'aron, achshav av l'chol o'olam kulo, l'fichoch efshel l'chol ger loyma asher nishba Hashem l'avoseinu, מפני שאברום אב לכל בוי עולם, לפי שלמדם הו אמונו והדס. This is an unbelievable Rambam. At least to me, it's a very, very, very chiddush thing. In other words, that the Rambam is touching up that what is the Av Hamon Goyim, if we have it referred to Kol Olam Kuloi, which at least the second half of the Pasuk, if I'm right, that the first half refers to Aram, and the second half belongs to Kol Olam Kuloi. So what makes Avraham the Av of Kol Torah Kula, of Kol Olam Kuloi? The fact that he is Mefasem Shelimdom Ho Emuno Vahadas. So every Ger is assumed to live a life which is based on teaching the Umas HaOlam over the whole world. Emuno and das. Unbelievable. So if that is what Av means, that somebody who teaches Emuno with das, so then I suppose that that would be the meaning of the first Pasuk also, where it doesn't say Vinosati, but Voyisa. In other words, like this, Avraham was Avraham, and he was going to get a son, Yitzchak. That's a given. So he's his regular biological father, no problem. Now, how does that make him the Av of all the people in Aram where he was living? Oh, so the answer is very posh. I mean, according to what the Rambam says, it seems to make a lot of sense. Why? Because what makes you an Av, if you're the kind of person who teaches them Emunah and Das, so if you're the kind of person who teaches them Emunah and Das, so you are their Av. So Avram taught the people in Aram Emunah and Das. How did he do that? He did that by doing the things that he did. He goes and he smashes the idols, and he lets himself be thrown into the Kishon HaEsh, and he's Moisa Nefesh, and he lives like a Guta Yid. So that is the being an Av. So at the beginning, it was only the Av in Aram, because there, I don't know whether there are any messiahs about how many Bali Tshuva were made in Aram and how many people Taka Sanefesh, Ahashosa Bechoron, says it in Choron. I'm not exactly sure of the actual mechanics of it, But it seems to me clear enough that if being an Av is to be Melamed, Emuna, and Das, so then while he was in Aram, so nobody ever heard of him, nobody knew him. He was a guy living in Aram who's doing strange things. But in Aram, they saw what an Erlich Yid is like, and he became their Av in that way. Then when the Ribbono Shel Olam sent him to Eretz Yisrael, so then it's v'nesaticha. In other words, over in Aram, it was a natural thing. That's why it says v'hoyisa. I don't have to make any special things. You're living there, they know you, they see you morning, night, and afternoon, and they see you and they see how you act, and v'meila they're mushpa by your tzidkus, and v'meila you're turning Aram into an erlicher place. But now you're going out of Aram and nobody's ever heard of you. And you're going to go and travel from here and travel to there, and you won't have any place where you are really at home. So your name will be Nespasim. Now, why am I stressing this? Because it doesn't really make much sense. I assume that there were no internets at the time. So how does anybody hear? Avraham is traveling in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, and he goes from here to there. Or then because of the famine, he goes to Mitzrayim. So the people in China know about him. Or the people in Africa. Was tut sich? I mean, how do you become an Av to the whole world? If you say the whole world doesn't mean the whole world, but the whole world means it's not limited to one place because you go there and you go there and you go there. So there's quite a lot of teaching Emunah and Das which happens. So you could say that you're being Mashpia on the whole world. Okay, if that's what it means, that's what it means. It's not what the words say. What the words say is that that he's the Av to L'chol Ha'olam Kula. L'chol Ha'olam Kula. What does L'chol Ha'olam Kula mean? L'chol Ha'olam Kula means L'chol Ha'olam Kula. So how does he become a Rebbe to the whole world? Rabbeisai, I think that what we've been discussing now and what we are discussing now is an unbelievable Mechayev. It's an unbelievable Mechayev. We are scattered all over the world today. And perhaps this promise of v'nosaticha l'kahal amim, not v'yisa, but ki'avam mangoim nisaticha, and in the next pasuk it says, yeah, v'akimoisi b'zbrisi v'niu v'nzarecho acharecha d'arosom l'bris olam lios l'chol elakim u'lzarecho acharecha. Yeah, it's telling on all the people who's going to be mashpia, but today we are in a matzav where we are tucker. We are tucker between the internet and between the various other means of communication. Let's not get into the evils of the internet. Everybody knows what's going on there. But the fact is that there is instant communication with cell phones and smartphones and where ves what all these things are. But the maise is, we can be mashpia, yeah, and you can have a chabura every Tuesday night with people from 55 different countries, and you can talk to them and you can explain things to them. Now we are in such a matzav, and it could be that that is the Ribbono Shel Olam's promise, that there is nesaticha. You see, being an Av in Aram, for there you don't have to have any kolse zachen. You are there, you're there, and your hashpah is a natural hashpah. Your hashpah is a natural hashpah. But giving a shiur on a smartphone or whatever it's called, and having it listened to in Yemen, that's already a different story. So you're becoming an Av of Yemen also, but Nesaticha, yeah, that's I, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who have made the world into the kind of place where your fatherhood can spread all over. So I think that when I said before that this is in Yono de Yoyma, I think that just we haven't said any Gois of Chidushim, it hasn't been an unbelievably Chidush de Kashir, although I want to say a couple of things still which may make it a very interesting shiur, but it's telling us that we have a terrific Mechayev. that we have to go and be mekarev of the whole world to emunah and das. That is what the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Nesaticha ki ava man goyim nesaticha. Yeah, ava man goyim nesaticha. I made you into an ava man goyim. I made you a father of the people in Echves and in China. So that's a lot of guys. You've got a few billion people there, and they're all your Talmidim. And whatever you do, and the fact is that it is that way. Somebody showed me just a couple of weeks ago. I'm still shivering and shaking from it. What an enormous achrayas it is to write books, and certainly what I'm doing, that I'm writing in English. The truth is that the last couple of months I was oimed on that, and I ripped up a couple of chapters of the chapters which I'd been writing in that particular period. Why? Because it suddenly struck me you're being misakin yidden. Who knows? You're writing in English. People may read what you're writing, and because a lot of the things that I was writing were totally a little bit on the medrash over there, which says that Yaakov Avinu made a deal with Esau, Yaakov gets Olam Hazeh, Bo, and Esau gets Olam Hazeh. And there's a lot of stuff which sounds derogatory relative to Goyim. And I mentioned to somebody that I'd thrown out these chapters. So he said, you know, it happened. It mamash happened 4 or 5 years ago. And I checked it out, and it was just terrible. Somebody in Lakewood wrote, I don't know whether he was at that time in Lakewood, I can't tell you, but he did have a haskoma from Rav Arya Malkiel, and he wrote a sefer, Roimimus Yisroel, and the way, the path of Golos. I don't remember exactly what the full title was, but he brought all these chazalim that Yidden are okay and Goyim are not okay, and in the worst kind of way, and he wrote it in Hebrew, right? So it's not a problem. Well, it is a problem. Why? Because some Russia got hold of it and translated it into English, and made copies and sent a copy to every single senator in the Senate. Gentlemen, this is what the Jews are doing over here in America. They're taking advantage of our kindness and our goodness or whatever it is. I don't know the nusach which they said, but this is who they are. And I went tucker to a site on the internet and saw what they had done. They're terrible, like a list, like 30, 40 things. Of things which Gezel Akum is Mutter Tos Akum Gezel Akum, and they even had a Bris Milah that the Gemara says that Pochos Me Tesha, if the boy is under 9, so that doesn't have a din of beer. So they said, oh, so you see, you're allowed to abuse children sexually. You just can't imagine what they did with that. It's terrible. Now it's a few years later, and I suppose most people don't remember it anymore. But I had never heard of it. But when this guy told me about it, I wanted to mention Goimel, that I'd gotten rid of those chapters. Not because the chapters aren't good chapters, I think they are, and the Yesoides are very, very important. But that's not the kind of thing you write. It's certainly not the kind of thing you write in English. I learned that very, very, very fast. But so. We're supposed to be mashpia. I told this story. I know I told it here on one of these shiurim. I don't remember what the context was, but I told it. And between us, please forgive me if I'm repeating it again. And it's not because I want to boast. Most of you know me a little bit at least, and I hope you think that I'm not a terrible boaster of anything. For the simple reason I don't have too much to boast about. But the following happened. I not often in Seven Mile Market, but at that time I was going with my wife. She was buying something and I was with her. So we went into Seven Mile Market and we bought what we had to buy and we went out to put it in the car. And as we were loading the car, so a lady comes up and she starts crying. And she says, Rabbi, I have to tell you something. I have to thank you. So I said, why do you have to thank me? I don't think we've met. So why do you have to thank me? So she said, oh, because I've been shopping in Seven Mile Market from the day that it opened. I've been shopping in Seven Mile Market. And it's a beautiful store. And there's so many rabbis who shop in there. And you know what? You are the first rabbi whom I have passed in the, what do you call those things, the lanes, I guess, between where the food is stacked, who smiled at me when you passed. You greeted me with a smile. Hi. Right? And I felt so good. I felt so good. And that's what she said. Now, well, I can't confirm or deny the facts because they sure don't smile at me. But apparently they don't smile at her either. But this, once we learn this Yesod, that the Rebbeinu by Bris Mili, it doesn't wait till Kedoshim. In Lech Lecho, the third seder in the Torah, it says, Rabbeisai, I want you to have a bris because I want you to be Mekatshe Shem Shemaim. I want you to teach the ganze Welt. I want you to teach what it's like to be in El Chayit. It's a moyerde gezach. Tell you a nice story. I don't know, those of you who are listening to the Shia, I don't know whether you're Hasidim of the Hamadiyah or whether of the Yated, but I understand that most El Chayidin are either this or that. We get the Hamadiyah. And in the Hamadiyah, there was a story just the other day. Somebody writes that he went into a supermarket. He went into a supermarket, and there was a scene going on. That there was a lady, a Caucasian lady, a regular American lady, an old lady who had an attendant. You know, she probably couldn't walk by herself, so she had an African-American lady pushing her wheelchair and that kind of thing. So anyway, so what had happened apparently was that she had a walker, and the attendant put the walker into the wagon where you put your shopping, and somehow it got caught there. And they were trying to get it out so that she could walk with her walker, but they couldn't get it out because it was somehow entangled in the wagon. And the lady was screaming, and she was yelling at her, and like an old lady, you know. So she was very abusive. And so he saw that the African-American lady also was calling things. So what was the maaser? Because a guy walked in. I'll tell you, Yeshivacha probably, you have the yarmulke. And he came and he saw what was happening and filed 1, 2, 3, he managed to free the walker and that she was able to go and continue with the trip. And this lady, this African-American lady, she was yelling, those yarmulkes, you can always bet on them. You can bet on them. They're the best people in the world. Those yarmulkes, they never fail. So this guy went over to her and says, what do you know about yarmulkes? So she says, I used to be an assistant in a hospital. I don't know what you call it. And she wasn't a real nurse. She was a nurse's help or whatever you call that, right? And in that hospital, it was a place where there were lots of Jews living. And the whole day, there were people with yarmulkes walking around the hospital. And all those people were always helping, whatever they were doing. Yeah, ever anybody needed something picking up or pushing something or bringing something, those yarmulkes, you can trust the yarmulkes. Wherever you have yarmulkes, it's a good thing. No, it's a good, it's not good. This Yid was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, and he was Mekayim. He was Mekayim what the Torah apparently wants from us. That V'yisol Afa Mein Goyim, at least the way the Rambam learns it. So I think that now in such an Eis Tzor LeYaakov, it's a real Eis Tzor LeYaakov, and in such an Eis Tzor, I think that perhaps we should all take to heart. You should always take to heart to see if you can be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, and help Goyim. Oh, so while I'm boasting, I'll boast another thing. But this is not I who is involved. But most many of you may know my son-in-law, soll gesund sein. Avi Kasman, he's a Rebbe in Slobodka, in Bnei Brak, good younger man. And so he has a rule. He travels once or twice a year, I think, to America to raise money for the yeshiva, whatever it is. So when he's waiting by the carousel for the baggage to come out, he always chooses to wait next to some old and infirm lady who will probably have trouble with getting her baggage off the carousel as it comes by. So that when the baggage comes and she sees the lady pointing, it's my baggage, yeah, that he can go and he take it off and put it on the regular for her. And so he's being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Oh, V'yisal, how's it going? Ki av hamon goyim nesaticho. That's what it is. Ki av hamon goyim. That way he becomes an av because he's teaching them emuna and das, the way the Rambam learns. So I think that we can all take a lesson from all this that we've been talking today, that it's very, very, very much incumbent upon us to try and be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, Dikkur people, and not to get ourselves into situations in which we're less than Mekadosh Shem Shemayim.